16 years, been praying for that. 16 years, been trusting that the Lord was going to bring us. Nancy, would you just flip those lights on as you go past? I thought Joe would be back by now. Thanks. All except that very last one. Thanks. Thank you. Been praying for and trusting the Lord to bring a praise team, and he hasn't done it yet. He still may, but they just add so much to the service, and I think you just saw that was a blessing. Cheryl, if you would put on my PowerPoint and also remember to hit record. She asked me to do that. I'm not doing that out of meanness. She just said, I know I forget if you don't remind me. But I ask you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is going to be our verse for this entire Christmas series. And it's a real simple one, but also take out your notes. You can't find it? Let me run back here. Excuse me. But we're going to be looking at six different messages, and the plan is to finish up. If nothing interferes with us, we'll finish up on January 4th. It's not letting you do it.
No.
Here we go. So we're going to be looking at six different parts today. You'll see the gift is shopped for. Next week we'll look, the gift is paid for. The following, the gift is wrapped. The gift is given, the gift is received. And then the first Sunday in January, at least at this point, the plan is this gift will return. So I imagine you know what this gift that we're talking about is, but 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, but thanks be to God for his indescribable or his inexpressible gift. And that's going to be the theme, our verse for every message in this series, but we'll be looking at other scripture, obviously. But we are, for this month, going to be thinking about the greatest gift that has ever been given. Let's just ask the Lord to pray or bless us. Father, thank you for this time again. Lord, we have so much in our hearts and in our minds that we're concerned with, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial needs. Lord, spiritual needs. We have people around us who desperately need a personal relationship with you. And Lord, we pray for all those things, but we just pray that you would help them to see that the greatest gift that was ever given is in your Son. And Lord, we'll be coming to the communion table here a little bit to realize that you did come to shop for us, and we're so grateful for that. In Jesus, amen. I can tell you right up front, I am not the best person to speak about gift shopping. I hate shopping. Back when we lived in Corning, when the mall was thriving and it was kind of robust and things were happening there and all the stores weren't closed down, I used to like to go with Cheryl and I would walk the mall. And she would go in all the different stores, and we didn't have cell phones back when, 25 years ago. So I'd have to try and figure out, okay, where is she? And I usually go to Bonton or one of those stores, and I'd go back, and she's supposed to be shopping for the kids, and I would just go back to the women's department. She'd be in there. But that's usually where I would find her, but she didn't make me shop. I just walked around. I would go Annie Ann's. I would always get a pretzel when she was shopping, so that was one of my big treats, and then might get a drink or something else, but I didn't shop, and I'm not a good shopper. I have to admit it, when we give gifts at Christmas, I have to wait until they open it to see what we gave them. Any other guys, anybody like that? Any other men? Is that, be honest? Okay, Matt's the only other one that's honest here. I have a niece, Jennifer, who several years ago, she just started, when she'd get her gift, she'd look at me and she'd go, okay, Uncle Ron, what'd you give me? And I said, it's a surprise, because it was a surprise me, but I just didn't know. And I'm just not a shopper. And again, I'm not sure if that's a man thing or not, but I have found some men who do like to go shopping, and that surprised me. As a matter of fact, when my wife, there's someone here, I'm not going to mention the name, who goes, something bins down in Williamsport. I'm not going to mention who it was, but my wife says, this person goes, and I say, well, ask them to go with you, because I just don't want to shop. So I'm probably not the best one to do this, but I did like going to the mall, and that's kind of ended. Now it's all online shopping, and I just can't imagine shopping that way. If I'm going to go in at Christmas time to shop, I want to see the decorations. I don't want to sit on a computer and do that. But I love hearing the Christmas music. I love being around the atmosphere, and that's what I love about the season. The one gift I did enjoy shopping for was Cheryl's ring. When we got engaged, we went out and I went to a jewelry store where I had my neighbor was the manager there, and he sat down and he took a picture of a ring that he thought would work for us, and it was just an old-fashioned Polaroid. It was 40 years ago, 40 plus years ago, and I remember he took the Polaroid and we had three diamonds that we were going to put in it, and he took his eraser and went down the picture and showed us where the ring would, or the diamonds would set in the ring. And that was fun, and Cheryl kept that picture, kind of holding on to it until we got the ring. And I remember the day I got the ring, she didn't know I went to pick it up, and I gave it to her that day. And just watching her face, that's what gift giving is all about, just seeing her so excited. But this topic here, this greatest gift, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Inexpressible or unspeakable is what that means, and it's something that cannot be identified. So bear with me over this next, today and the next five messages as I try to describe to you what cannot be described, okay? What is indescribable. Imagine trying to do that. Imagine trying to describe to someone something that just is so exciting to you, but they can't picture it. I remember one of our trips we took to Jamaica. We landed just before the hurricane hit. We landed several hours before, but all the restaurants and stuff were closed. We did find a Pizza Hut in Jamaica that was open, but they were boarding everything up, and they did service. And then went through the night, and it was windy. It was really cool. And then we got up the next morning. I told you this is we went. It was the night of the hurricane. We went out in Montego Bay, and we went swimming. And the Jamaicans just thought we were nuts. They just thought we were idiots there. I mean, the water, it's a bay, so it wasn't big waves until the hurricane hit. Then we were able to body surf. But they just thought we were crazy. And then the next day, it just stormed all day. And I had to go out that afternoon for something. And I went down, and I was out off of Montego Bay. I went back, and I just saw this gorgeous sunset. Just beautiful. And I went back to the lodge that we were staying in, and I got the team together. They were all in playing cards and playing games because they hadn't been out all day because the rain was so bad. And I went out and I said, guys, get up. We're going to go out and look at this. They said, come on, Pastor Ron, I'm not going to go out. It's raining. I said, no, the rain's cleared up. It's sunny. It's not sunny. And they looked out and they wrote, okay, there's a little bit of sun. I said, get off your cans. We're going to go down to the beach. So we walked over, and they were all kind of grumbling. And then when they all looked out and saw the sunset, you saw picture cameras coming out. This is, again, might have been before phones, but everybody's taking pictures of this sunset. I was trying to tell them about it, how beautiful this sunset is, and they didn't believe it until they saw it. And I just remember someone just saying, wow, wow. And I'm not expecting that, but I would really hope that's going to be your response to this series as we go through and look about what Christ did for us. Me trying to describe this indescribable gift, I hope when you just get some glimpses of it, you'll just say, wow, what a Savior. So the first point we have, and they're all P's this morning. Oops, I guess you need to turn it on. His shopping was personal. His shopping was personal. One of the nicest things about gift giving, I suppose, no, when I have given gifts, is that it's for one individual. It's not much fun to buy for a whole group. When we were youth pastors, we would go out and we would get individual gifts for individual kids. And when we did something special, I would always make, we'd post stuff on our youth bulletin board out in the fellowship, out in the sanctuary, and we would put individual verses for each kid. And the kids would pull it down, and they'd realize that's the verse that the staff picked out for me. So there's something nice about buying something for an individual. Cheryl, again, is very, very good at this. We have two sons in their 30s, and Paige just turned 24, and they love getting Christmas stockings. And Cheryl doesn't, she doesn't even wrap those. She does the wrapping. If you ever get a gift from Cheryl, realize it's a professionally wrapped gift. She was paid for like 5 years to gift wrap. She headed up the gift wrapping at Bon-Ton. So she's amazing at it. She has shown me time and time again how to do it. And I'm really not stupid, but when it comes to gift, I just can't. I don't get it. I never measure right. My corners are terrible. But Cheryl doesn't bother wrapping the gifts for the stocking. But each kid loves getting stuff in their stocking because that is very personal. Cheryl will ship that out to California here for Cameron here soon. And Christmas Day, we FaceTime with him and we put him up on the big screen in the living room and the whole family sits around while he opens his stocking. And he loves it. It might be like hand lotion, but it might be his favorite chocolate or mints or whatever. But she spends time shopping just for each individual child. And it's pretty special. And Cheryl will begin shopping for next Christmas on the 26th of this December. She'll start looking ahead. She's a shopping expert. She's good at it. She has the gift of shopping. I don't have that gift. I don't enjoy it. She likes it. But as I said, Jesus was shopping for us personally. I have in your notes there, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." He was certain what he was looking for. And I put here, Jesus was the ultimate shopper. When Jesus shopped, he had a list. Think about that. He had a list, and on that list was Ron Hagee. On that list was Bill Preset. On that list was our birthday boy, Mark Morgan. God had you in mind. He knew exactly what he was looking for, and it was you and I. Back in the 80s, some of you might remember this, there was a big campaign that they had to remember, that I think they were yellow, I Found It. Remember all that? The Christians were supposed to wear that, I Found It. And it was supposed to say, I found the Lord. It was supposed to be a campaign to make people say, what did you find? Well, I don't know how that campaign ever turned out, but there wasn't really any truth to that when you think about it. I didn't find Christ. He found me. He came to look and seek for me. I didn't even know I needed him, let alone was I looking for him. I didn't find him. He found me. And when Christ shopped, when Christ came to seek and to save, he shopped for you. He found, if you know Christ, he found you. He didn't come out in comparison shop. He didn't go out like this, I don't know if it's Beartown Bins or whatever it was, ones who go there find these great deals at the bottom of the bin. They're searching through everything. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was not looking for the cheapest price. He knew what the price was going to be. And next week when we look at this gift is paid for, we'll see that he wasn't looking for a markdown on what the cost was going to be to him. He knew it was going to be his life. He knew that. And he wasn't looking and saying, well, maybe in my 33 years walking along on earth, I'll find a deal that it's not going to cost. Maybe I just have to prick my finger. Maybe I won't have to spread out my arms and have them drive nails through my feet and hands. Maybe it's just, if it's just blood, maybe it'll be just a drop. He wasn't looking for that. He had you in mind when he came. And Christ wasn't looking for something from you and I either. He wasn't looking for a gift in return. So many people and families, obviously that's what we do. We exchange gifts, and I don't give a gift, or Cheryl doesn't give a gift, looking for something in return. We give to our kids because we love them. And they do give to us, but we don't expect anything in return, especially if you have a son. You might not, your daughters are probably really good gift givers. If you have a son, probably not so much unless they're married and their wife shops for them. We don't look for things in return. And Jesus didn't, or we do expect things in return many times, but Jesus did not do that. You were what he shopped for. This next one, his shopping was philanthropic. What does that mean? Philanthropy, if a person is a philanthropist, it's they might put $1 million in a college for students to go, and they're looking and thinking about the future generations, and that's what philanthropic, yeah, I can't say it more than once, philanthropic means. It means others-oriented. It's thinking about the other person. It's thinking about the future. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus was God incarnate, meaning God in the flesh. That's what incarnate means. Jesus came in the flesh for you and I. He came with humanity on his mind. When you think about it, Max Lucado wrote a book that is often heard on FLM at Christmas, Christ Came Near. I think they did a play, and they might do two or three night stuff on family life that with that theme in mind. Christ came near. God came near through Christ in the flesh so that we could know him, so that we could experience him. He's taken on this form that could be seen, could be touched, could be experienced, could be understood by human beings. And Jesus was able to say, in all points, just like you are, I've been tempted. Jesus can identify with us in the flesh. And it's only because of him being in the flesh that he could do that. Philippians chapter 2, we know this passage. It says, Jesus didn't consider equality something to be held onto. He was equal with God. He was totally God. And he didn't hold on to it. He didn't grasp it. He didn't embrace it and not let go. But it says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, it says, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Jesus didn't hold on to his Godhead. He didn't hold on to the perfect union he had with the Father. He let that go. He was willing to let that go. And God, the only way he could not condemn sin in us is by our relationship with Christ. Jesus, or God said in Romans 8:3, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Only because Jesus came incarnate, only because Jesus took on the human form, could we have that forgiveness of sin. And what an amazing thought that is, that Jesus, from the time creation, the world was created, we were on Jesus' mind. He was philanthropic, okay? He was others-oriented. He was oriented to you and I. That's amazing. That just blows my mind. And again, he wasn't searching for a nice gift in return. He wasn't looking for a bargain. He had our salvation in his mind. In his whole life, he was others-oriented. Think about that. He was completely philanthropic, completely you-oriented. What an amazing God. His shopping was planned. When our kids were small, and I did go shopping with Cheryl, I've told you that she got me to go to a musical. Well, it was Les Mis, the movie. I had no idea it was a musical. I had seen it advertised, but I thought it was just a movie. And then Cheryl said, let's go see Les Mis. And I said, okay. And she goes, before we go, we'll go out to Outback, and you can get a steak. I said, awesome, this is going to be a great night. And then she didn't tell me until I had ordered my steak and the steak was in front of me. She goes, you do know that this is 90% musical, right? And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, it's a musical. I said, oh, I didn't know that. She goes, well, you know, I don't know if you remember she said this or not. She goes, enjoy your steak because you're not going to be enjoying the musical. But by the time 15, 20 minutes in and I could get past them seeing what they should be talking, I was okay. And I ended up enjoying that. But that's how Cheryl bribes me, is food. So she would say, we're going to go to the mall, and you can get a Cinnabon or whatever, you can get a thing. We're also going to go over here, and we're going to stop, and Spencer needs some soccer cleats or whatever, so we're going to get those. And you can just walk around the sporting goods store. I didn't need to eat when I was in the sporting goods store. That was a good place to go. And I could walk around while she was shopping. But before we went to the stores, Cheryl would get, and I was just the chauffeur, she would say, okay, we're going to go to the mall first, and then we're going to go to this store, we're going to go to Dick's, we're going to go, and then she would have it all, and I would just drive, and I'd get my Cinnabon or whatever I was going to do. But before we pulled out of the driveway, we knew what we were going to do. We had in mind where we were going to go. And again, that Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus, when he left heaven, he knew what he was doing. He knew why he came. That's not only amazing love, that's eternal love. That's he's dying for our eternal salvation. Lewis Berry Schaefer said, the term seeking the lost suggests a divine preparation of the unsaved that will bring them into the conditions of salvation. He's saying what, rephrase that, he's saying, when Jesus came to seek and to save, he's preparing our hearts to realize we need a Savior. I often say each individual person needs to make a personal decision to receive a personal Savior. And that's what Schaefer is saying here. The term seeking the lost suggests a divine preparation of the unsaved that will bring them into the conditions of salvation. Last week we looked at another Christmas message that I hadn't prepared, but I just kind of threw it together because we didn't have our speaker here. But we looked at Matthew 13 and the story of the parable of the pearl. Luke 15 also talks about those parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. And with that in mind, that's all those stories show the extent of the one who is searching. What extent will they go to look for what they've lost? What amazes me in the story of the prodigal son is not that he messed up, not that he left home, not that he repented and wanted to go home. It's none of that. It says, but I am always moved by this. When he was still a long distance off, the father saw him. God was looking for him. The father was looking for him. The father was waiting for this boy who'd spent everything on wild living. And not only was he watching for him, but when he saw him, he ran out and embraced him. He loved him. He hugged him. And I struggle sometimes in loving sinners. I'm just being honest, and maybe you do too. When our children disappoint us, sometimes it's not that I stop loving them, but you just think, where did I go wrong? What's going on here? And sometimes I don't know how to love. I don't know how to love sinners all the time. But if I take Christ's lesson, he was waiting for me. He was watching for me the day that I accepted him as a Savior. He was saying, "What, Ron, I've been waiting for this day. I've been waiting for you to come to me and for you to realize that I had found you. Just come to me." That's amazing thoughts. Some people say if people really want salvation, they'll come just to church. Just open the doors and they'll come. That's not true. Okay? Romans 3:11 says, no one understands, no one seeks God. I like what C.H. Spurgeon, the old preacher, said. He said, talking about Romans 3:11, he said, no one seeks after God. That is, none do so by nature. Those who seek after God are led to do so only by a work of grace in their hearts. Otherwise, men are blind. They do not see the right path. They are willful. They are sinful. And they don't seek after the God. The godly do not, as a rule, believe they have any need of salvation. Therefore, they do not desire it or seek after it. So we're not looking for God. It's him coming to seek and to save you and I. Aren't you thankful that God planned his love for you? Aren't you thankful, if you go back, that he was shopping for you personally? You and I, we are the names. That's all that's on his Christmas list. It wasn't, well, I hope I get the ring. I hope I get that new car. I hope I get that, back in Jesus' time, I hope I get that new young donkey I've been looking at that's going to pull my cart. He didn't do that. God, you and I were the only things on his list, and he had it planned from eternity. Amazing that his shopping was that planned out. And then as the final one is, his shopping was purposeful. I don't know if you make up a Christmas list or not. Our kids do have a list. Matter of fact, my son Cameron wrote to me the other day and said, Dad, I forgot to ask you, what do you want for Christmas? And I get asked that. Paige asked me that a few weeks ago, and I don't know. I don't need anything. You know, most of us, we're at the age now, if we want something, we buy it. You know, we just go out and get it. But Cameron wrote the other day and said, I forgot to ask, and I wrote back and said, Cameron, I don't know. If I think of something, I'll let you know. So yesterday we were getting ready to go to Dickens, and I've had this pair of wool socks. I've had them as a youth pastor. I know I had them as a youth pastor because that's the only time I wear wool socks is I wear them over other socks if it's really cold. If I'm shoveling snow or when we went on a winter retreat or if we went tubing or sledding with the kids, that's the only time I would put these wool socks on. So I went to get them out of the drawer the other day, and the heel is probably a hole in it like that. So Cheryl said, ask Cameron for wool socks. So I laid them on the couch. They were clean, okay? I wash them when I wear them. But they were clean, sticking up with a big hole. So I wrote and sent a picture to Cameron and said, Mom said, Dad needs some wool socks. So he wrote back and said, man, you really do need them. How old are those things? But that's all that I had. I can never think of anything. And when you think about this, God, when he came, he knew exactly what he was looking for. Cheryl's really good, as I said. Cheryl seems to have an understanding of what everybody would want, what everybody would like. I told you last week about buying my sister that burnt orange pantsuit that would not have been on anybody's wish list. But Cheryl knows what people want and what they certain items, what they would need, something they would be interested in. But nobody ever gets everything that's on their wish list. How many of you remember, we're going to age ourselves, how many of you used to be thrilled when the Sears and Roebuck catalog came at Christmas? Wasn't that awesome? Kids today don't understand that. But I remember you used to go through and just put a check on this. And I remember there was such a neat thing. It was just a dashboard of a car. Some of you might remember this. It had a little windshield and plastic wipers that would go. Battery operator, remember that? I wanted it. I never got it. But it was just such a fun thing to do. And that would probably come, I don't know, middle of October. And by December, man, you probably had all the pages checked. And we didn't look through the clothing. We didn't look through the underwear and things that your parents were going to get you. You looked at the toys, and that's the page you wanted. And not everybody gets everything on their list. But think about what Christ did for us. His shopping was purposeful. He knew that he didn't come for luxurious living. He wasn't coming to make our life luxurious either. But he came to give us what we need. And that's an eternal relationship with him. Matthew chapter 1, I just have a verse. I don't know if I have these verses in your notes. I do have Matthew 1. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's why he came. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. One of our messages several years ago when we did the minor prophets, we went through all the Old Testament and looked at the minor prophets. And Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. That's an amazing God. That's why Jesus came to earth. He came with the purpose of being our refuge, of being an eternal refuge, of paying the price for our sins. And just have this thought. Let me see if I can get it to come up. There it is. What was on Christ's list? He didn't have a personal wish list. His list had your name on. I know we've just mentioned that a little bit ago, but that is the purpose for which Jesus left heaven, was to come and to die on the cross for us. There was a picture on our announcements, I don't know if you saw it, but it had a Christmas tree on one side. Somebody had it on Facebook the other day, and Cheryl sent it to me, but it had the tree on one side, and the other half of the tree was the cross, and it said, the season, the reason. The season is Christmas, the reason is the cross. And to think about that, and I say this probably every Christmas, is Jesus is the only person that was ever born for the sole purpose of dying. That's the only reason he came. That was his purpose, to die on the cross for you and I. And just, I want to close with this thought. Just think about that. You were known by God before you were even born. Before the world was created, you personally were known by God. And you were loved by God. Think about that gift as we celebrate this Christmas season, that he came to shop for you. He's to seek and to save that which was lost. And again, to think what he left in order to do that, the splendor, the glory, the perfection of heaven, the perfect fellowship with his Father, the worship of the angels, the beauty and glory and splendor of heaven, And he left that to come to be born in a manger, to eventually be spit on and punched and beaten and have nails driven into his hands and feet, crown of thorns on his head. He did that. He left heaven knowing that. So you were known by God before you were born, and you were loved by God because he was, even though he knew you, even though, to think about that, this is the thought that came to my mind. I had to call, I don't know if anybody else's Verizon network extender, it just stopped working on Tuesday, December 2nd. And we Googled it, and it said all across the country, at the exact same time, December 2nd, Verizon network extender stopped working. So I spent like an hour on the phone the other day calling them, and they said, yes. They said, we sent out an email like in October, but we're realizing probably people either didn't get it or they didn't read it. And I'm talking to this girl from Florida. She was really, really helpful. And they said, we're sending you a new one, but until it's not going to be shipped out until December 23rd because so many thousands or millions of them died at the same time. So we were talking, and I said, well, whereabouts are you in Florida? And she was telling me, and I said, so she goes, where are you from? And I said, she asked, she goes, do you have a window near your internet extender? And I said, yes, I'm looking right out now. I said, see about 4 or 5 inches of snow. She goes, oh man, where are you from? And I said, Pennsylvania. And she goes, oh, she goes, I'm in Orlando, Florida. She goes, I could not take the cold. And I said, oh, you're near Disney. And we got talking. And I said, yeah, we took our kids there a number of years ago when they were younger. And she goes, well, how old are your kids? I said, we have one 38, one 33, and one 24. She goes, oh, just talking to you, I thought you were maybe 30 or 35 yourself. And I said, you know, I appreciate you saying that, but if you knew me or you could see me, you would realize I'm not 35. And I thought of that as I was working on this message, or I had already done this message, but just thinking, God knew me. God knows everything about me. God's seen me. God knows my frustrations. He knows I get angry. He knows I get discouraged. He knows I get mad. He knows I hold on to bitterness. He knows I have lustful thoughts. He knows all that. But then I didn't just say you're known by God, but you're loved by God. God knows Ron Hagee perfectly, and he still loves me. Thank you, Father, for that truth, that you know me and that you still love me. Lord, that should move us to realize what a great, great gift we have in Christ. Thank you for that gift that's indescribable, that's inexpressible. But Lord, help us to be able to tell about it to other people and draw people to yourself, Father. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the manger. And we're thankful for the gift of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.